Oh, you were like back in school, they'd have the all-time quarterback who would switch sides?
Yeah, well, so Darren McCarty and I were both down there. And it was the Battle of the Badges, 10th anniversary of the Battle of the Badges. It was the Detroit Police Department versus the Detroit Fire Department. And it was, they put it on as a charity game for, it was a canned food drive. So if you brought some cans, you got a chance to get in free, supporting the Capuchin Kitchen. And so Darren played for the police department in game one. I played for the fire department. Fire department won.
Mm-hmm.
So in game two, we decided, oh, we're going to switch so that, you know, we can both play for both teams. So
then when you were on the police department side, who won?
We won.
Okay.
And Darren and the, I prefer to say the four-time Stanley Cup champ lost. And so the announcer, as they're announcing the game, that, you know, they were kept doing the comparison that, you know, we both had one hit and then I had a couple of extra hits. But every time he'd come to the plate, you know, they would try and build up this, you know,
narrative.
Who's doing better? But every time he would come to the plate, they'd be like, four-time Stanley Cup winner Darren McCarty, and I'm like, I can't. I got nothing.
Yeah, but you're right, a national champion.
Right. One, and it was college.
Yeah.
I lose in that regard every single time. Darren was great. We had so much fun. And then the third game, which was to decide who took it down, who took home the trophy.
Mm-hmm.
They went, instead of batting everyone and instead of having us play, it was just cops versus firefighters.
Who was the
and
best?
And the police department won.
Okay.
So
did Darren McCarty win game one or two?
No one knows.
No one knows. You are brutal.
So you had a good time then?
I had a great time.
Good.
It was both teams. Everyone was, they were happy that we were there and they were fun. It was, there's a rivalry, obviously.
Yeah.
And they're playing for a trophy. So, and I didn't stick around to see the end of game three. I had to get home and you know, make sure I was ready to watch the Tigers. It was a long day. But it was so much fun. The guys were great. And it was the absolute perfect day. And here's the best part. They allowed Jack to play as well.
Oh.
Now, he didn't get a chance to play in the field or bat. I batted, but in softball, you can have courtesy runners, right?
Yeah.
So I'd get on base, and then my courtesy runner would be Jack.
Oh, you passed that off on him. Oh, you're like, yeah. I'm not liking this
yeah,
out.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trust me, I'm playing in that game with guys that are, at this time, and it's hard to say this,
oh, no,
half my age. And so I'd get on, you know, I hit a double one point and I'm like, okay, I'm not out of breath, but I just knew that if I had to, you know,
tag up.
Yeah. It was going to be better for someone much younger than me. And so they allowed Jack to come in and run, and it was fun to see him be a part of it as well.
That's
so,
actually really cool. I thought you were going to say the coolest thing was the hat, the helmet they gave you.
They gave me, so the cops gave me a badge, and I'll bring it in tomorrow. I meant to bring it in today, but I was just a lot going on this morning. And it's one that they give out at some of the football games, and it says Kings of the North, and it's got the police badge on the other side. And then the firefighters gave me a legitimate firefighter's hat, and it was their helmet, and it was a yellow helmet. And on the front of it, instead of obviously, you know, the badge number or, you know, house number or anything like that, they put a Block M. It was badass. And they did the same thing for Darren. They had a red fire helmet for him, and they put the Red Wings logo on front. I thought, you know what, I might just go to sleep in this. I was wearing it around all night last night. It was a kid's dream. And when they handed it to me, I literally was 8 years old again. I'm like, I want to be a firefighter. I get to wear the helmet.
Speaking of a kid's dream in firefighting, Heather, did I see Brooks got some photos in a fire truck?
Oh, he did.
Oh, yeah?
He got one of those plastic firefighter hats. Oh. So not nearly as cool as yours, but to him?
Yeah, but he would have helped.
Very cool.
It's a much heavier than, it's about the same weight as a football helmet, so might have been a bit heavy
for Brooks. It probably would have been.
Yeah,
but yeah, he got to sit in a fire truck. All sorts of trucks. Dump trucks. There was tractors.
Where did you guys go?
It was an event at one of the parks near our house.
Oh.
It was packed. There was a lot of people there.
Yeah.
So it was hard to really enjoy it. We didn't stay too long, but Brooks had a blast. A police car. Got to put him in the back seat.
Oh, boy. Hope that's the only time.
Yeah.
He also got to drive as well, so
oh, wow.
That's pretty cool.
Trucks and sirens.
I also met Elsa this weekend.
Oh.
Yeah, so it was a...
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, let it go.
It's a big weekend.
Big weekend. John, you said you had to get back for the Tiger game.
I did get back for the Tiger game, and it was fun to watch Morton pitch because... I know that, you know, you were especially hard on the 41-year-old.
He did not need a cane to get out to the mound. I was impressed. And then he did throw a gem. Gosh. I mean, six innings, six strikeouts. At one point, he struck out five consecutive batters.
Yeah.
I was impressed.
At 41, when you're throwing mid to upper 90s, and you've got the spin rate he has, the curveball was nasty. It was fun to watch him pitch against a really good lineup.
Well, he came out piping 96, and I'm like, whoa, okay. And then that fourth inning, he struck out 4, 5, and 6, kept it going, struck out the next two batters in the fifth inning, and actually gave him a shot to win that game. Yeah. It's not his fault they lost that game on Sunday.
No. I mean, you pitch, you allow one run, and all total, they allow two. You should be able to win that game. You got to be able to hit the ball. You got to be able to get guys across home plate. Now, Philly did make a great play at the plate.
Yeah, going home.
Yeah. And so hats off to Philly. It was a great series. It was well played by both teams. And we'll talk about the trade deadline and the results of it. But I'm curious. If they face them in a World Series, because they're one of the teams that could come out of the National League, do you think they were competitive enough to have a chance in a 7-game series?
Oh, I think they'd have a chance. I just think Philly's better. You know,
I agree.
I think Philly specifically is going to feel great today about the closer they added.
I think just about anybody coming out of the National League is going to be better than anybody that comes out of the American League.
I think I'd take the Tigers over the Cubs if we got that matchup. And we've seen that this series. It was a competitive 3-game series at Comerica Park. But you're right. If it's Dodgers, if it's Phillies.
Did you see Turner's walk off?
No, I didn't.
Oh, did Wrigley Field? Yesterday, no. I got home just in time. And so the Tigers weren't on yet. So I turned on the MLB channel and I was scrolling through. I'm like, oh, let's see this game. Because it was ninth inning. Tied 3-3. And Turner gets up with one on. And it's amazing to me the stats that are at the ready when something happens. Because he hits and it was a no-doubter right off the bat. Home run to left center in his career. That's his first walk-off.
No kidding.
Yeah.
He's played forever.
Yeah. And I mean, over 200 home runs, and that's his first walk-off.
No kidding.
It was awesome.
So
great moment.
Morton looked good. Finnegan looked good on Saturday, and yet they did not win the series over the weekend. The Phillies have to love what they got in their closer. I mean, first of all, that intro, when they're the tarantula on the video board, and he's coming out. And
it's so cool. It's so cool, and we mentioned it last week. And there's a lot of local baseball fans that maybe they've heard about it, but didn't necessarily see it. I got texted last night as he was coming to the mound. That walkout is second to none in Major League Baseball.
And he shut the door Friday night. He shut the door on Sunday night. They paid to get him, and I'm sure they're happy they got him. Look, we're going to revisit the deadline a little bit. 6:35, do you feel better or worse about the deadline? A couple guys stood out, played well, ultimately didn't make enough of a difference for them to beat a World Series contemporary in Philadelphia. 6:35 on that. John, talked a little bit about what you did this weekend. Little sample of what Heather did. I'm
still intrigued by the trucks and the police car and everything that
it was
Brooks
awesome.
Got to do.
It's a cool idea.
Emily loved it too, but jealous. Brooks was really, I mean, he loves cars, so it was really his thing.
Huh. I was out and about, and I saw one of the more egregious examples of someone using ChatGPT to solve something.
What do we call them? Sloppers.
Sloppers.
Sloppers, that's right. I was trying to think of that term this morning.
I saw a couple sloppers doing their thing over the weekend.
Did you call them out? Did you say, you are being sloppers?
No, instead, I bit my tongue and decided I'll air it out on the radio at some point on Monday. So I think that's later in the show, but you know, Odyssey Rewind, if you miss it, you can go back and listen to it. We got a busy show today. Coming up next, Hendon Hooker did not have a great preseason game number one. We'll hear the evaluation from the man himself. That's next, 97.1. Guys, if you're looking for a straighter smile without the metal braces, if you've been thinking about Invisalign for you or your kids, the perfect time to make the move is with Brightside Dental. Invisible, comfortable, and now, most importantly, more affordable than ever. Start your Invisalign journey for as low as $59 a month. Free consultation, no pressure, just answers. And if it's right for you, they get you into one of those plans. Straight teeth, straightforward pricing, something to smile about. Mention Jim Costa in the morning show. Lock in that price. 1-800-PAINLESS. BrightsideDental.com. That's Brightside Dental. No judgment, just care. Phillies take 2 or 3 against the Tigers over the weekend. Revisit the deadline, 6:35. Couple new faces pitched well. But the new face for the Phillies shut the door both Friday and Sunday. 97-1. We're going to get to that 6:35. John Hendon Hooker, not pleased with his performance in his first preseason game.
Nor should he have been.
He's going to get the start on Friday when they play preseason game number 2. Hendon Hooker, how would you rate your performance? Let's go scale of 1 to 10. He said that over the weekend as the Lions are back out on the practice field.
Well, good for him for being self-aware, self-critical. You've got to realize that, and you're going to have bad days. There's no question about it. And he came in the second half, didn't play well. He's going to have the script, the initial scripted drive. He's going to have all the one reps leading up to this game. And it's very important that you don't put, especially in his position right now, two back-to-back performances that are, sub-zero out there, because he's in a fight for his job.
Let me ask you this. From a roster standpoint, do the Lions want to carry 3 quarterbacks? No, right? Nobody wants to have to carry 3 quarterbacks.
No, and they probably don't want to carry 2 at this point.
Well, that's what I was going to get at, is if they're only carrying 2, he's got a lot of work to do if he's going to be one of the 2. Otherwise, I mean, John, is he a cut candidate? Are we looking at that?
Yeah, because no one's going to want to trade for him.
Right.
Now, he could be a guy that is, his performance might be one where nobody else really wants him as their number 2. So
you get him as a practice squad.
Yeah, you put him on the practice squad. That's probably the path that he is on right now. Now, he has control of that. He could change that narrative. He could change the path.
Go out and throw 3 touchdowns on Friday night.
I don't even care about the touchdowns, right? It's just being an effective leader on the field. Manage the offense. Throw the ball where it's supposed to be. They'll lead to touchdowns, but sometimes you got to have guys catch it. You got to have right routes, but you just have to command the offense and look like you're an NFL quarterback.
But does he have a long way to go in the sense that they did not feel comfortable with him at the end of last season? They are yet again chasing the Super Bowl. He'd have to do a lot for them to go, yeah, we're carrying 2 quarterbacks, and the only one not named Jared Goff is Hendon Hooker.
Yes, he would. There's a large mountain to climb. So it may be he needs to go out there and have a dramatic performance of, like you mentioned, 3 touchdowns.
And I get your point. Like, it's not just the stat sheet. He's got to look the part.
Right. He's got to be able to manage the offense, getting guys lined up, getting in the right formations, making sure guys, they're very aware of the snap count. Use the snap count to your advantage. Do all of those different things. And then once the ball is snapped, everything changes, and you've got to be able to manage it at that point.
I would question right now if either of the Lions' backup quarterbacks should even be in the league. Like, I think if Hooker got cut, he'd get picked up and brought in because he's so young, and he would start going down the road of Kyle Allen, their other backup, who's already been on 6 teams.
Yeah,
I mean, look, if Goff goes down, you got to have somebody that you can bring in and survive and trust. Are we going down David Boyle? What was the guy's name again?
Blau.
I'm good. Tim Boyle.
Yeah, Tim Boyle. Yeah, you put them together. Yeah, you put those two together, and again, you don't have
still
a great
quarterback.
Yeah, you've got Hendon Allen.
Exactly. Jamar at, by the way, in Westland?
Yeah, you know what? We need to hear from him this week. Like, they're in a position, I don't want to do like overreaction to a backup quarterback, because it is ultimately still a backup quarterback, but it's a spot they could upgrade and should upgrade. Carson Wentz is out there.
Yeah. I mean, it's an insurance policy. We talked about it the last couple of years, and going into the season with either of these guys as your number 2, all you need a guy to do is go in there and get you out of a game. To start 5 or 6 games,
nope.
That's not what you need a backup quarterback for. You may need him to take those snaps if something catastrophic happens.
But in that world, your season's off the rails.
Off the rails.
Yeah.
But you need somebody, if you have Super Bowl potential, and that is your goal, you can't lose games that you have a lead in, and then your quarterback, maybe he takes a hit and he's got a concussion, right? Enters protocol. Well, not coming back for this game.
Or how about even just the playoff game we watched last season where Goff wasn't knocked out of the game,
no,
but he didn't play a series. You don't want to throw away possessions.
No, you don't. And it's every game, especially this year with the way the schedule sets up, you don't want to lose a game that you should win, that you're in position to win, and your backup quarterback comes in. All they got to do is run the clock out, manage the offense. And right now, neither of those guys can manage the offense.
Nope. Right there with you. Let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, you guys, there was actually kind of a scary moment that took place at the Katy Perry concert last night right here at Little Caesars Arena.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so during her Choose Your Own Adventure part of her show is where she like chooses fans to choose what songs they want to hear. She was scanning the audience, right, looking for a few fans to invite on stage, and she spotted all the way like up in the very top corner of the arena two young girls that eventually made their way down and got to go on stage with Katy Perry, which was pretty cool, right? She gave them a hug, kind of walked them over to the other young girls that were up on stage. They were going to have shakers and perform this song with her, and right before she was about to perform, one of the girls that she just invited down collapsed right there on stage. Katy Perry was one of the first to notice. She and her crew quickly rushed to this girl's aid. She had to be carried off on a stretcher.
Oh boy.
So very scary situation.
Is she okay?
Yes. Katy Perry, she did a little prayer with the girls up there before she started singing. And then later on in the concert, you know how she flies around on this like butterfly? I don't know if you've ever seen her, but she goes up over the audience. Well, she was up there performing a song.
You'd think I would know that.
I don't know. Well, there was a recent news story about it because it tilted and she almost fell off of it.
Oh, you did have that. So, yeah.
And that's why I thought maybe you would know. Not.
Now I do.
Outside of the news.
Yes. But now I'm cool.
As she was up there floating around on this butterfly, she pointed to where the other girls were sitting and said, you know, by the way, the little girl's name was McKenna, is doing great. So
good.
Sounds like she's okay. Didn't hit her head on the fall. I don't know why she collapsed.
A little too much excitement.
I mean, maybe she just fainted. Maybe she was hot and excited and overwhelmed. Or maybe
sometimes
she has a medical condition. I don't know.
Videos of weddings where all of a sudden man or a bridesmaid they go down. You're like, what happened?
Yeah. So thankfully, she's doing great. Despite some rumors that said Mel Owens was out as the next Golden Bachelor after he made some, I guess you could say, cringeworthy comments to none other than John Jansen, your podcast is everywhere. When I saw this article pop up, it was like, there you were yet again. Anyway, he has started filming and he is still the next Golden Bachelor. He is not out and he has issued an apology for what he said while he was talking to you, John. So obviously, we've talked a lot about this. He said he didn't want to date women over 60. He didn't want anyone with fake hips or fake hair. He had a lot of comments about what he wanted.
He had his own criteria.
He did. And now, I mean, he got shredded for all of those comments. And I think he's kind of backtracking and realizing, okay, wait. Let's think about this a little bit. And he said, well, he started filming because it's already started. The first thing he did was walk in, addressed what he said, his comments, apologize. You have to.
No, I know, but I just love that John is the one that created the situation.
I know.
So he had to come out and address John.
I did not create the situation.
Well. Anyway, so he's apologized to these ladies, and he said what was great is that one of the dates, they always go and do these weird, different types of dates, and one of them was a roast. The women had to get up on stage and roast him, and they had a lot of fun giving it back to him. Specifically for these comments that he made. So
that's fun.
And he did say he wants to earn back their trust and earn it back.
So what I would say is,
he's got to say those things, right?
He's allowed to have preferences. I want to be clear on that.
Oh,
we all have preferences. The one that got me was, you're going on the Golden Bachelor saying you wouldn't date a 61-year-old woman when you're
66.
That's the only one. Like, if you don't like the fake hip or the hair preferences, that's fine.
It is fine. It's the way it. There's people who are much younger who have had their hips replaced.
Of course.
And guess what? They're still doing CrossFit and they're still out there running marathons. That should not matter. It's the way that it came across, I think. To me, it was still implying the age thing and like, oh gosh, if she's got a hip replacement, guess what? She's probably not.
Yeah, you know, she's walking around with a cane.
Yeah.
You know what it is? John just brings out the worst in people. That's what it is.
I tend to do that sometimes. Yes.
So the WNBA is warning that anyone who throws objects onto the court will be ejected and face a minimum 1-year ban.
What kind of objects, Heather?
Well, it could be anything, but the warning did come after sex toys were thrown onto the court in two separate incidents this last week.
They were very similar, though, weren't they?
Both the two green? Toys?
Yeah.
I mean, I only saw one photo, and I'm guessing they were probably very similar. Yeah, and I don't know if they were the same individuals. Probably not, because the one who threw the first one was arrested.
Yeah.
And that happened on Tuesday. The second one happened on a Friday, so. Yes. Unless he got posted bond and got out and did it again just for...
Making bread.
Yeah, who knows, man. Olympic gold medalist Sha'Carri Richardson was arrested for allegedly assaulting her boyfriend, who is also a fellow athlete, Christian Coleman. So she was taken into custody at an airport in Washington State after a TSA agent actually reported a woman assaulting a guy when they were leaving the checkpoint. But the story is pretty crazy. So the officer who reported to the scene said they looked back through security footage, first saw this verbal altercation, and then it escalated into a physical one. She apparently shoved him hard enough to send him crashing into a nearby column. And then after that, after he tried to walk away, she followed him, pushed him again hard enough that it sent him flying a few feet away.
Wow.
Damn.
Wow. Right? And then it continued. He still tried to get away. She threw a pair of headphones at him, hit him. And she was arrested. However, she was charged with fourth degree assault. During a police interview, both said no physical altercation took place and he did not want to press charges. So,
It's Heather with the news. Coming up next, check in with Tiger fans. You feeling better or worse after the deadline after this weekend? It's 97.1. Tigers win on Saturday. It's the only win they got over the weekend. Revisit the trade deadline with me, John. How do you feel? You feel better or worse?
Well, I didn't feel as bad as you did. So I guess I feel a little bit better now that you finally see what it is that you bought and how they're performing. And I thought Morton did a masterful job yesterday against a really tough lineup. And so I like the fact that we have another starter. I feel better about the starting pitching than I did maybe a week ago. Now, and this is on the heels of losing Reese Olson, who I thought was good, was the number two. And with Finnegan in the back end, along with Vest, now Canely is still a gigantic question mark, but I do like the pickups.
So Morton was surprising on Sunday, right? Well, I think to anybody. I mean, that was one of his best outings of the entire season. I mean, he had a rough month of July. The five previous starts didn't indicate that he was going to come out and dazzle to the degree he did. So I would say I was impressed with Charlie Morton in his first start as a Tiger. I thought 96 on the gun in the first inning, and he kept that velo for the most part. The curveball, I think, was the key to him putting up a 6 strikeout, total on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Finnegan, 4-out save on Saturday. So two of the guys they added looked good. But
they lost 2 of 3.
Yes. It wasn't good enough.
And
they couldn't even get to Finnegan on Friday because the bullpen is still not built up and they were shut out on Sunday. And I know they don't need any bats, right? But they were shut out. So I don't feel better. I feel like it's, again, a deadline that's going to keep them from winning a World Series.
Well, and there's only one way to find out.
Yeah. And meanwhile, Philly, a team that is more aggressive in that pursuit, takes 2 of 3 and does it with, their big addition leading the way.
Right. But it's also on the heels of, how did everyone else do? We're focused on the matchup with the Phillies because, and some of it's with Dombrowski and some of it's Scott Harris and it's who they added, who we added, and you end up, that's the head-to-head matchup. But you also look around the baseball and you think, okay, well, who was one of the other aggressive team, Seattle. Seattle won 2 of 3, and their bats were on fire. They're a team that is making a push for a World Series championship, and they're still right at the cut line of the wild card. So we'll see how that progresses. But it was also the Yankees. Yankees went from leading their division to trailing Toronto. Now they are third in their division, and the additions that they made on Thursday, we got a chance to see all three of them Friday night. Jake Bird, he allowed 4 earned runs.
He got bombed.
3 hits, a base on balls, home run in 0.1 innings pitched.
They didn't last, so they had to go to the pen again.
Yeah, so they went to David Bednar. I thought, oh, okay, well, hey, this is the guy everyone wanted from Pittsburgh.
Dude, right? Yeah.
He allowed 2 earned runs in 1.2 innings pitched, 4 hits, and a home run as well.
Not great.
So let's go to everybody else's favorite that they wanted, Duvall.
Yeah.
All right. He allowed 3 runs, one of them earned.
Oh, boy.
Because they still can't defend.
Yep.
In 0.1 innings pitched, he allowed 2 hits and a base on balls. So by my math, that's 9 runs by the 3 predominantly big-time relievers that everyone wanted.
Yeah, the 3 controllable arms they added at the deadline. They got swept by the Marlins over the weekend.
Yeah.
Now they have a bunch.
Where are they now? They're a half game in front of the Seattle Mariners for that last wild card spot.
Yeah, they're right on the edge. Look, I think in New York, there's a pressure cooker there, and if those guys blow up, they blow up. I would still commend them for going out and adding those guys, right?
Sure, and that's one game.
And that's the key, too, with the bullpen. They're volatile by nature. You're going to have to judge not only what the Yankees did, but what the Tigers did in the postseason. Like, this is not a plant the flag.
If the Yankees make it, yeah.
Right. This isn't, hey, Harris screwed up or Harris won the deadline today on a Monday. We're going to know that in October. Mm-hmm. Like, they got to catch lightning in a bottle. Maybe this Morton thing, they can catch lightning in a bottle. He's 41 years old. He has a relationship with A.J. Hinch. I'm sure you heard the story from Buster Olney,
yeah,
who said, you know, A.J. pulled him aside when they were on opposite sides and said, just have fun out there. And if they can unlock the curveball to go with a 96-mile-an-hour fastball, he could be the number 5 starter, right? Catch lightning in a bottle. They're going to need to, because while I think Finnegan's a real major league arm, everybody else they added, they're hoping to catch lightning in a bottle with. It's not like they're coming in as proven commodities.
Right, but if you have him and say he's your 5th starter, you move him to the bullpen, and now you've got, for the postseason,
yeah,
now you've got somebody that can actually get you from when you know, Skubal comes out in the 6th inning, or when anybody comes out in the 6th inning, you got somebody that can go 7 and 8 and get you to Vest or Finnegan.
Yeah, I mean, the guys we didn't see are all the, you know, reclamation right projects. So it's yeah hard to know what we're getting out of those guys.
Right, but they're not the ones that we're relying on. The ones we're relying on are Morton and Finnegan. And so they added 2 arms that can be very productive, not just in the regular season, but very productive in the postseason, which is that's what the goal is.
That's the whole thing. They're going to get in the playoffs. The Detroit Tigers will be a playoff team. If you guys have looked at the month of August, by the way, I know they lost over the weekend 2 or 3. This sets up for them to clean up this month.
Mm-hmm.
They got 25 more games in the month of August. 22 are against teams with losing records. They're going to play the Twins twice. They're going to play the Royals in there, the White Sox. They should make some noise in the month of August, really build that lead up. In September, they're going to face both New York teams and Cleveland and Boston, but this should be a playoff team, and then we'll judge in the postseason whether they did enough at the trade deadline.
Right, and when they play the Mets, just like when they played the Phillies, and earlier in the season, when they played the Padres, or they played the Giants, or they played anybody that was a team in the National League that we thought, hey, you could possibly face this team in the postseason, there's going to be a direct one-to-one comparison, just like we did for the Phillies, we'll do for the Mets, and the Yankees, when we get there, it'll be in New York. It'll get a chance to see how these guys react in an environment like that. And it's not just the additions. It's who are going to be the bats.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Did they screw up by not adding a bat? Because they got shut out yesterday in the swing game against a World Series caliber opponent.
Right. Well, okay, you're going to get shut out from time to time.
Right, but again, they're going to be relying on Vierling's bat, Ibanez's bat. Like, these are the guys in the lineup against lefties. Like, these are the guys who will be there in the postseason, and they're going to have to hit, right?
Yep. And they're going to be relying on Torque's bat. Now, I know it was, I mean, no great shakes, but he was 2 of 4 yesterday. Jamai Jones was 2 of 3. They just weren't able to get guys, runners in scoring position. They were 0 for 5.
Yeah. That's fourth inning. They had a couple guys and a chance to make some noise, ground into a double play.
Mm-hmm.
Look, they didn't feel like they needed to add a bat. I question that. And I question whether the bullpen is rock solid enough.
Right. And but coming out of it, and there's we're going to do this throughout the course of the rest of the season, and we will do it ad nauseum when we get into the playoffs. Hopefully, we'll have some great Lions talk to kind of counter what we're talking about with the on the baseball side of things. But it is who gave up the most for at the trade deadline. Obviously, Yankees, one of them, and the Tigers didn't. They still have all their top prospects, and they were able to get Morton, who had a great start for him. Mm-hmm. It's one very small sample size for the Tigers. It was Finnegan, but what does it mean moving forward? What is it? What are they able to do when you get to September and ultimately October?
Do you feel better or worse about the deadline after watching this weekend? Some ticket text, 248-539-9797. Morton is going to be this team's Kenny Rogers, a vet. High-pressure experience. He's averaging a strikeout every inning, so you get swing and miss. He's still got it, and he's going to dial it in now that he's on a contender back with A.J. Hinch. Mm-hmm. Tigers should have done more, but the difference between the Tigers and the Phillies is simple. They are World Series or bust. They are at the end of their window. Tigers are at the start. This person may be right, but you got to compete with the teams that are in their World Series or bust window, right? Like, those are the teams. There will always be someone more desperate than you if you're never going to go for it, right?
Sure, but I mean, so look at the starting pitching right now. And let's just take that for example. Obviously, Scooble, mm-hmm. Flaherty, when he is on, is a good number two. You got Paddock, that's a replacement for Olson, and Mize, who has been up and down. But again, you start to get into September, and these guys hopefully are rounding into form, and then you throw in Morton in there. That's 5 quality pitchers that you're throwing out there. And then move one of them
into
the bullpen.
With Melton, who we haven't seen in a reliever role yet. But people were excited about him throwing 98 out of the pen. Texter says Vest is crashing, right? He gave up some hard contact and runs both on Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, but now he doesn't have to be the only guy.
Yeah, but if Canely's also crashing and Vest is also crashing, and Finnegan's good, but you only added Finnegan.
Right, but hopefully it's not every time you get to the ninth inning, it's Will Vest or bust.
Right. There's also one Tiger taking a bunch of heat on the ticket text. Tell you about him coming up next. I think Tom said he had a big, bold opinion from the weekend. We'll do all that around the hour. And then at 7 o'clock, John, you want to kick it old school?
I do.
We'll do that. 97.1.
Hey, it was a beautiful weekend, and if you're looking for a nice cold beverage, let me tell you about Founders Brewing Company, because they've been making high quality beers right here in Michigan for over 25 years. Their focus has always been on using the highest quality ingredients, and you can always count on Founders to deliver extraordinary quality in everything they release. With that dedication in mind, their all-day IPA is crafted for every and any moment. It's easy drinking, refreshing, and flavorful. All-day IPA is the kind of IPA that's never out of place. So whether you're tailgating, maybe you're just kicking back on the back porch, grilling, hitting the beach, hitting the boat, kicking back. It doesn't matter. There's so many great opportunities, especially at this time of the year. It's smooth, full of flavor, and endlessly crushable. It goes where the good times are. Look for All Day IPA at a store near you. Founders Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan. For 21 years old or older, please drink responsibly.
One of 2 outstanding plays Sunday by Riley Green in the field.
Flashing that glove. It was beautiful.
Some good foreshadowing by Greg. Riley Green's actually getting some heat on the ticket text.
Oh.
0 for 13 with 3 strikeouts. Such a star. John Cookies, OMG. Green is driving me crazy with his at-bats. 0 for 13. He doesn't look good at the plate.
There are times when he does look lost at the plate. Like he's guessing what's coming next. And he's guessing wrong.
He is still by far, with the slumps, the best hitter on this baseball team. And he makes plays like that in the outfield. I don't know. I can be a complainer. I very rarely complain about Riley.
Okay, so he's got obviously more home runs than Gleyber Torres. Gleyber Torres is the one
from a pure hitter.
From hitter, okay. Yeah.
But like magnifying, like, hey, doubles are worth more than singles, homers are worth more than doubles, like factoring in the slugging. Yeah, I think he's their best hitter with all of the slumps and streakiness. And I rarely complain about Riley Green. I mean, he's to me the least of the problems. Do I worry he could go cold in any given playoff series? Sure, I suppose.
Yeah.
But I'm more concerned about, you know, the guys who aren't Riley Green when they heat up, that are surrounding him in the lineup, that were part of the shutout performance on Sunday.
I would somewhat argue, though, that Gleyber Torres should be the guy that is the best hitter on this team because of the experience. He's got postseason experience. He's the guy that really brought him out of that, you know, losing 12 and 13 games. He, you know, led off with that home run. And he's just a guy that's been more consistent throughout the course of the season. His slumps haven't been as prolonged as Riley Green's.
Yeah, I get what, yeah, maybe I should phrase it differently. Like, from a hit tool standpoint,
right,
Gleyber Torres is the best hit tool. But factoring in, like, power.
Sure, he's got half the home runs as Riley Green does.
Right. That's all I'm saying.
And don't dismiss, I know you mentioned there, but the defense last night. I mean,
yeah,
he's a very good defender.
Yes.
So my takeaway from the weekend, and I guess I was probably at this point anyways, but I thought this series summed up that this is why they won't win the World Series. Going up against a lineup like this, a bullpen that, look, Finnegan did well, but Vest is iffy at times, I think. I think he's good more than bad, but I also think the bad will find itself against a lineup like this or other NL lineups like the Dodgers and stuff. And then last night would be the way the Tigers would get eliminated. Couldn't get enough hits. This is why I wanted a bat so much. Like, last night was an example of steal a game with a home run with a Suarez in the lineup.
Right, both teams had five hits. The difference is, you know, they got one of their runs with one swing of the bat.
Right, exactly. I didn't think they were going to win the World Series before the deadline, during it, and I don't after. I think they can get there. I think they should be the AL favorite, but I still wonder if they can win a 7-game series.
Yeah, to me, it feels like they're going to be relying on finding lightning in a bottle, right? Like Morton at 41 years old, you're hoping, hey, lightning in a bottle. Outside of Finnegan, am I getting good Vest, good Canely? Is the second Montero going to give me enough swing and miss without walking guys? Is Sewald going to be healthy, and is he part of this bullpen? I don't know.
Right.
You know, it feels like they're going to rely on lightning in a bottle. And then offensively, they don't have a ton of guys who are going to go yard, right? So they're going to have to string together multiple hits against quality major league pitching, not once, but in a 7-game series and then another 7-game series if they're going to get things done.
I think it's going a little, like, to just say this, they lost 2/5 of their rotation. This is a baseball team that lost 40% of their starting rotation, and I think they've put a decent Band-Aid on it.
Sure, Paddock and Morton.
But yeah. I still think it just comes down to when you play against these good teams, your pitching's going to get a little more exposed. I mean, look, Saturday, Skubal gave up 3 runs. He's not perfect. He's not going to have a 0 ERA. But against better teams, they're going to get to him a little bit, like Cleveland did last year.
They are, and we said it, and we, I know it was somewhat semantics. You said a bat and an arm. I said an arm and a bat, and they added arms and didn't add a bat. So you're going to probably see a lot of these as we get playing some of these better teams. And you get to the postseason, a lot of 2-1 scores, a lot of 3-2 scores, and it's imperative that guys like Riley Green, guys like Gleyber Torres, Torque, who was 2-for-4 last night, these guys need to find a way to put bat on ball and do it with runners in scoring position.
Ticket text 248-539-9797. Texter says, what did Suarez do this weekend, Cookies? Did he go over or something? Like
I didn't look at him.
Do you read?
I mean, they won, so.
Am I reading Smarm into that correctly? Is he? He's like, well, what did Suarez do this weekend? He went 1-for-4 and 1-for-4.
Okay.
And they
no
won.
Home runs.
And they won both games. No home runs. Okay. Is the person's point that we're fine at the plate? Is that what that ticket text is implying? Like, okay, let's say Suarez wasn't the right fit. The answer was nobody. They didn't add any bats.
Right, and you got sub 600 Vierling leading off last night.
Right, who went over.
You know, when it is getting to the point where he needs to turn it on and get elite. If he can become the hitter he was last season, that will definitely provide a little oomph for them.
How many at-bats has he had so far? I'm trying to...
Vierling, what are we up to now? Because you don't want to overreact, but at the same time, like it's becoming... I mean, it's not a trend at this point. It's just kind of who he is this season.
He's had 78 at-bats, so he's getting close to that mark where that 100 at-bats where he needs to be where he was, where he's been throughout his career.
You know, against a lefty leading off where he didn't he play in Philly?
He did. That's where we got him from, I think. Yes.
Providing a spark maybe for, you know, Sunday night, AJ's trying to get him going. I kind of understood it a little bit, but... He didn't do anything.
Yeah, he was part of the outfield in Philly when they played in the World Series. Yeah. He also didn't hit in that postseason either.
Didn't hit last year either, did he?
No, he didn't. Take a text, 248-539-9797. Scott Harris is to blame for the loss. We can't hit a lefty that's any good. If we got a decent right-handed bat, it may have been the difference for the rest of the season.
I mean, okay... It's not breaking news that could have used a right-handed bat. They didn't get one.
But it may be like Scott Harris seemed confused at the question. Like we played a little bit of that audio last week where it was like, well, hold on, we mash lefties. Outside of a rough stretch there for a couple weeks, the numbers suggest we're more than good at hitting left-handed pitching. Like to him, it is breaking news that they need a right-handed bat.
Well, it's the same thing with Brett Holmes where, you know, it seemed like it was breaking news that, you know, we want another edge rusher, and he says, I don't understand the question.
Well, and it's wild to me because they're both good at their jobs. Like, I know that gets lost, isn't it, when we criticize these guys. Like, they're very good at their jobs.
Right, and it's okay to criticize them. And Scott Harris is going to have a team that's in the postseason 2 out of the 3 years that they've been here. Brad Holmes has found the Detroit Lions and made them a perennial playoff team. They were in the NFC Championship game. They had the number one overall seed.
Yeah.
But you still can be better. But again, in football and in baseball, in any sport, there is no perfect roster. There's holes in every roster. Now it's up to AJ to, like we said on Friday, got to wave that magic wand. Find those matchups. You got to make the subs when they matter most. Kerry Carpenter came in yesterday and it didn't work.
248-539-9797, a glimpse at the Tigers post-trade deadline, lost 2-3 to the Phillies. In the 7 o'clock hour, Micah Parsons demands a trade from Dallas. What we're not going to do is shoehorn him into this team on the Lions. No. We've done that discussion a million times. It's not likely. It's not going to happen. However, the Micah Parsons trade demands do impact our Detroit Lions indirectly. We'll get to that at 7:35. We'll go old school next, 97.1.